Torah in Northwest London, Monday the 7th of December, Chof Aleph Kislev, Tovshin Pei Aleph, Rabbi Gary Bazak, on Yovon and the Rishus Arabim.
Okay, good morning. Every so often you get asked the question, as a rabbi, as a mashpia, you have this uncomfortable position where you're I'm about squirming a little bit because you don't know, and it's a really, really simple question, and you don't know the answer to it. I just, as an example, I had a brother-in-law who's now the rabbi in Bushy United Synagogue. So he was once leading a Shabbos table basically, and he had a group of kollel guys at the table, and he had some participants at the table, and they were all saying over deep ideas, and then one of the girls asked, "What does Ritzei v'hachalitzeinu mean?" And you saw all the kollel guys kind of like shift in their seat. I didn't exactly know what it meant. Right? So I had one of these about a couple of years ago where I was giving a shiur and I said that I was talking about Yovan, but were matame the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash and they didn't damage the Beis HaMikdash. And someone put up their hands, an Israeli in the audience, and said, "Rabbi, excuse me, it says, Ufar tuchomot bigdalai." It says, "Ufar tuchomot migdalai." Ah, it does say that. Yes. So the reference. So later on, I looked it up and found out actually what he was talking about. Obviously, Miles Tzura, but there's a Mishnah that actually describes this, and it's very interesting because if you think about it, the Mishnah was really the text written directly after the conflict between Yavon and Klal Yisrael, and it's therefore very surprising, and many point it out that there's. Very, very little reference to Hanukkah in the text of the Mishnah at all. Very, you know, sparse here and there is mentioned. But as far as I know, there's only really one place that actually describes the conflict, actually describes the machlokes, and that's the Mishnah in Midas, and it's what Miles Tzur is based off. Lifnim mimenu soireg, the Mishnah says in Perek Base Halachic, Perek Base Mishnah Gimel. Lifnim mimenu soireg is dealing with various places in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's saying there was a soreg, there was this fence, gavoy asar tvachim, and says the Mishnah, ushloshes reputsois hayusham shepartsum malchi yavan, that Yavan came along and they made 13 pirtsas in this soreg. There was a fence, there was a wall, and they made 13 pirtsas in the soreg. Says the Mishnah Vaita, chazru gdorum, the Klal Yisrael won, and therefore they re-fenced it, they rebuilt the wall. And they were masaking that any time you would walk past one of these holes that they fixed, you'd have to bow. You'd have to do ishtachavaya. This is it. This is the Mishnah distilling the machlokas between Klal Yisrael and Yavan. Now the Gaon here has a very interesting explanation. He says the function of the soreg was that at that point, Goyim couldn't go any further. Meaning the Soreg said, "This is for Klal Yisrael, and that is not for Klal." And when you go past the Soreg, it's not for the Goyim anymore. And you can understand the Yavan; they were cultural imperialists. They believed in spreading their culture. They were the Ikka culture. They were the Ikka philosophy in the world. So you understand why this was anathema to them. You can't have this. This is ridiculous. What do you mean? This place you can go that we can't go? Absolutely not. So you understand. The Gaon's very understandable why this is a very integral and central point in the machlokas between Yavon and Klal Yisrael. However, there's another perish, which is the perish of the Rosh, which the Tos Yom Tov brings, and he says, "Hasoreg nase letiltul Shabbos ulezeh hayagavo asar tvachim kedin kol mechitza." So the function of the soreg was to make inside of the soreg a rishus hayachid. So the machlokes, if we had to distill the machlokes between Yavon and Klal Yisrael in the Mishnah, what was the machlokes? The machlokes was whether the Makom HaMikdash should be Rosh HaYachid or not. It's a little bit less exciting than the machlokes between the Gaon had. The Gaon had a very big machlokes. Who's the Ikka culture? Klal Yisrael, Yavon, Yaftalakimba, Yefa, you can have a bit. Here, it's kind of like all of a sudden the Eruv has become the issue in the Beis HaMikdash. Like this is it, this is what. I mean, it makes sense over history that this expresses itself, but it doesn't seem to ring true with us. Okay, so I'd like to try and understand the depth of what's going on here in this rush. I think actually at the end of the day we'll see it's not actually that different to the Gaon. But At the very least, let's try and understand what is this Rosh Hashanah Rav and Rosh Hashanah Yachid element. You can see already that Chazal was sensitive to this, even in the halachas. Meaning we're very busy in the Gemara about that it has to be Pesach Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that it has to be Lamata Ma'asara, all these type of things which we'll try and explain towards the end. But there is some relationship between Rosh Hashanah Rabim and the Greek philosophy of life, Yavon's philosophy, and Klal Yisrael, and how this was the Ikka Machloikas between Yavon and Klal Yisrael. Okay, so to answer the question, let's go a little bit off track. Let's start like this. Let's notice another phenomenon. There's another phenomenon, which is that Ner Chanukah seems to be oddly related to Ner Shabbos. Now, I know they both have the word Ner in them, but other than that, they're very, very different, if you think about it. Ner Shabbos is the fundamental issue in Ner Shabbos is that we want you to use Ner Shabbos. It's there for Shalom Bayis, for Kavod, for Oneg, whatever it's there for, it's there to use. The fundamental issue in Ner Chanukah is do not use this under any circumstances. They're almost diametrically opposed. They're almost going in opposite directions. However, the Gemara, when it says Haragil Baner, talks about being Zahir about a Ner. So it says, both of them, Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos, Rashi says. More than that, the Yosefi Yoreim, that would be one level, but the Yosefi Yoreim does something even more astonishing. Yosefi Yoreim, when he brings the mitzvahs, you look for Ner Chanukah, you won't find Ner Chanukah in the Yoreim. Funny thing, you should try and look for Ner Chanukah, you won't find it. Why? Because it's in the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos for Ner Chanukah. Really? One mitzvah called Ner Shabbos v'Ner Chanukah? And he's even busy with it. He's busy at the beginning. Why am I putting it together? I know it's not exactly, you wouldn't have thought putting it together, but I'm putting it together. There's something fundamental about Ner Shabbos that relates to Ner Chanukah. And I think there's something even more astonishing. When the Rambam brings Ner Chanukah, he brings all of Hilchos Ner Chanukah. Now, if you had to choose one halacha that you wouldn't kind of close, wouldn't be the finale of Ner Chanukah, it wouldn't be this. If you've got a Ner Chanukah and a Ner Shabbos, then you should just know Ner Shabbos is Doche Ner Chanukah. Why? Because of Shalom Bayis. It seems a little bit unfair. To say that in Hilchos Shabbos, where Ner Chanukah is not taking center stage. At the end of Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam brings the final halacha is, if you've got, I tell you everything about here at Hilchos Chanukah, and then, by the way, there's one area where you don't have Ner Chanukah. Seems like an odd place to end. But okay, even if you're going to end that, the Rambam sometimes, when he finishes his Sforim, he says that when he finishes a particular area of halachas, he brings a philosophical yusod. He brings a philosophical idea, a deeper idea in Hilchos Me'ilah and Hilchos Tumah, many places. So here, he also does that. What's his yusod? He says, Haya ner lefan of ner beso v'ner chanukah. Ner beso, by the way, is ner Shabbos. Ner beso. Surprising, you should call ner Shabbos, right? Ner beso, especially as Chanukah is ner ishu beso. Okay, surprising, but. Why does Ner Beso, Ner Shabbos come first? Mishum Shalom Beso. Now the Rambam goes into a whole explanation about Ner Shabbos. Shaharei Hashem Nimchat Laso Shalom Bein Ish Le'ishto. You should know that Shalom is a very important thing. We'll delete the Shem Hashem for Shalom. Godoil HaShalom Shekol HaTorah Nisn Laso Shalom Bo'olam. The whole world was created to make Shalom in the world. As it says, Darchei Darchei Noam B'chol Nesivei Seh Shalom. This is all very, very lovely. If you were talking about Ner Shabbos, if you were talking Hilchos Shabbos, and you're trying to explain Ner Shabbos, because Ner Shabbos is for Shalom Bayis, but Ner Chanukah is not for Shalom Bayis. Why are you explaining this here? It's a very nice. The Rambam's closing Hilchos Chanukah, and he closes it with an idea about Hilchos Shabbos. He closes it with an idea about Ner Shabbos. It's a very odd idea, very odd thing. So we've seen three areas already where you start to see that there is some interesting relationship between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Haragel b'Ner. You already see Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos put together. Okay, maybe there's something common about them. The Yoreim, though, goes further, and the Yoreim says, no, it's the same mitzvah. Ner Shabbos for Ner Chanukah. It's mamash the same mitzvah. Very strange. And then the Rambam, in a place where he should close with an idea about Chanukah, closes with, number one, the place where you're doche Ner Chanukah, and number two, he then goes to explain the thing that is doche Ner Chanukah, as opposed to Ner Chanukah. He gives a whole explanation about Shalom. Okay, so let's start with this. Let's try and understand this. So I think there's two yesodas we need to try and understand this. Yesod number one is, and it's all over the Svarim HaKadoshim, it's all over Sifrei Chassidus, this concept. I'm going to take it from one particular place, which is an odd place, but it's where I find it the most distilled, which is there's a Hakdama. Rav Yisrael Elio Weintraub has a sefer on Sfeikus, actually, called Pischei Sha'arim. And in the Hakdama of the Sefer about Sfeikus, he says one line, which is a very, very important line. He says, says many lines are very important lines, but this line is particularly the one that I want to talk about, and therefore is particularly important for my share. Okay, so he says the following. He says, everything in life, everything in the world, everything in Olam has chitzonius and pnimius. Everything. Now that's important because we don't necessarily, I think our intuition is not necessarily like that. Our intuition is basically, I go to work, that's chitzonius. I go and learn, that's pnimius. I go and daven, that's pnimius. I go and play football, that's chitzonius. Right? You've got chitzonius and you've got pnimius. Says Rav Yisrael Elia, that's not true. In everything that you do in life, everything, it has chitzon and pnim. Now that's very important because that changes your gisha to it completely. Let me just give you an example. Okay? Something as basic but important as buying your wife flowers. Imagine a picture, if you will, two men. There's one man who's his wife and it's his anniversary, and he decides he's going to get his wife some flowers. So the only thing is, he's got work and things like this. He rushes off to work, and he'll get it during the day. He'll make sure it gets delivered during the day. And of course, during the day, he's got an alarm on his phone, and every so often he just presses the alarm off. You know, snooze the alarm. It's fine. It comes up on the computer, snoozes it there, and it's getting later and later in the day. And eventually, there's the alarm that comes up on his computer, and it says, you must buy your wife flowers now, !! Okay, because he knew that this might happen. So he quickly calls up the flower shop and he says to the flower shop, deliver all of your flowers to my house, please. Then he calls up a string quartet and he says, follow the flower vans on the way to my house. He gets in his car, he drives behind the flower vans, there's a massive like parade of vans. He comes to his house, his wife's waiting there, kind of thing like this, and he goes, you thought I forgot, darling, didn't you? You admit it, you thought I forgot, but I wanted to surprise you at the end of the day. That's one guy who buys flowers for his wife, okay? Let's go to the other guy, and there's another guy who's not wealthy like that first guy. Ah, poor guy, he doesn't really, but he's worked out which flowers would be best. He knows, he's worked out after, you know, 30 years of being married, which flowers his wife actually likes, right? He's worked it out. And now he goes, and it's not hard to get them at this time. Yeah, so that's the most astonishing part of this story, right? And so he finds out what flowers she actually likes, and he's worked out how he's going to get them, even though it's not the season for those flowers. And he spends the time, and he can't take off a lot of time from work, but he's decided he's going to take off half an hour in the morning. He's called up his boss, he's sorted out weeks in advance, he's got someone to cover him, even though there's an important meeting. Whatever it is, he stays at home for an extra half an hour with his wife, gives her the flowers, gives her... Now, two men gave flowers. It's a massive difference between them, right? In one case, let's talk at the Maisa. The Maisa here, in the first guy, amazing Maisa. Flower van, string quartet, beautiful flowers. The chitzonius of the Maisa is fantastic. Pnimius, meaning pnimius, the bit that you can't see about the Maisa. That's what pnim means, right? It's inside, you can't see it. The relationship that's there, the depth of where it's coming from in terms of his identity, not so much expressed in that Maisa. Right? You can't see it, you won't be able to tell. But in terms of whether it's there or not, will he connect with that Maisa? Will their relationship be built with that Maisa? Yes. Fantastically? No. Will he feel uplifted? Will she feel uplifted? Not really. On the other hand, the second guy, the external Maisa, might not be so geschmack. It's not such a geschmack Maisa. But the inner part of the Maisa, oh, that's there in abundance. It's an deep expression of who he is. It's a deep expression of their relationship. And therefore, when he gives the flowers, it connects. So now, if that's true, you can always do, any Maisa can be done, any Maisa has to be done, chitzoin and pnim. You can't do it without. If the second guy, by the way, just meditates about how much he loves his wife, and he goes through the anniversary, and there's no flowers for the wife, he's equally in trouble. He's not any better. No, but darling, I couldn't give you any flowers because I was just thinking about how much I love you. You try that. There's a lot of that. It's not going to go down very well, right? So you need the chitzon and you need the pnim. You have to have both. But you always have to ask the question, what's driving this? Is it being driven by pnim or is it being driven by chitzon? And therefore, let's think about it this way. You're standing up to daven. You take three steps back. You take three steps forward. You bend your knees, you bend forward, you lift up your head. You say you did it all at the right times. So you said every word clearly, you enunciated it clearly. You might even know the translation of all the words. Even the Hachalit Seim, you might know the translation of all the words. And you might never, ever have spoken to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's possible. You've done all of the chitzonius of the Maisa, all of the chitzonius of Tefillah, everything. But the deep understanding of what tefillah is, that you're actually talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you might never have done. On the other hand, you might have done all of the plimius and not been yotze tefillah. You need to have both. If you don't have both, then you're lacking. But the question is always, what's driving this? Is it being driven by panim, or is it being driven by chitzo? That's principle number one. Okay. Principle number two. Okay, so this panim and chitzo is principle number one. Principle number two is like this. Rav Huttner is medayek something fantastic in Birkus HaShachar. I'm just going to get a siddur. He says every week, he says all the Birkus HaShachar, the first bracha of Birkus HaShachar, of Birkus Kriya Shema, we have on Shabbos and we have during the weekday, and it's different on Shabbos than on the weekday. On the weekday, you add various things. On Shabbos, you add various things which talk about Kedusha Shabbos. Right at the beginning, we add these extra lines. Normally, we say Hamayir la'aretz v'ladarim alea, v'rachamim v'tuvim mechadish b'chol yom tamim ma'aseh bereishis. We talk about it. Now, on Shabbos, we also say all of this, but we just add a little bit beforehand, and we add a little bit in, etc. We add some bits here and there. What's interesting, says Rav Huttner, is that makes sense that you add things on Shabbos, talking about Kedusha Shabbos. But there's one line in Birkas Kriya Shema that we take out on Shabbos, we don't put in. That's there in the weekday, and we take out on Shabbos. Which means it's somehow so-so Shabbos. So here's the line, you ready for it? Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem. How numerous are your works, Hashem? Kulam b'choch ma'asisa. Very nice. That's a very nice line. I would like to think about that on Shabbos. What's wrong with thinking about that? How numerous are your works, Hashem? It's fantastic what you've done. You've done built an unbelievable world. Ma rabu ma'asecha. That we can't say on Shabbos. Why can't you say that? Why is that not Shabbos-tik to say that? Why do we take that out? So says Rav Huttner, unbelievable yesod. He says, on every day of creation, something was created which has nothing to do with anything else. Water's got nothing to do with, you know, the got nothing to do with light. Light's got nothing to do with a tree. An animal's got, they're all separate. They're all distinct things. They're all fundamentally disassociated from each other. They don't connect. There's nothing about them that is oneness. There's hundreds and thousands and millions of things that were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, that's all true until Adam is created. At the point that man is created, now there's a purpose to creation. The purpose of creation is Adam. Now what that means is, the tree is part of the purpose of creation. The sea is part of the purpose of creation. The wind is part of the purpose of creation. The sun is part of the purpose. So all of them now share something. And that Adam, that center point of creation, brings all of those details together into a oneness. You can no longer relate to them as details which pull you in different directions. If you think about your life, it's the same thing. You've got millions of details in your life. 25 different things to do. You've got work, you've got your relaxation time, you've got your learning, you've got your davening, you've got your family, you've got your friends, you've got the pastoral things, you've got the askonos that you're doing, you've got everything you're doing which pulls you in different directions. And there's nothing per se, if you look at them, nothing about my work which is necessarily related to my learning. There's nothing about my learning which is necessarily related to my tefillah. There's nothing about my relaxation which is related to my family. They're all different. They're all pulling in different, and they pull against each other sometimes. Sometimes they're mamash pulling us, and we feel like we're being, you know, pulled apart. So says Rav Huttner, that's only true until you get to Shabbos. When you get to Shabbos, then what you relate to in all of those mice, in all of the things that are happening in your life, is the purpose of them, is the tachlis to them. And when you relate to the purpose of them, then there's something common about every single one of them, or at least there should be something common about every single one of them. And if there is something which isn't contributing to purpose, then someone has to ask himself on Shabbos, should I really be doing that? Should I really be doing that during the week? Should that be part of my life? Because I'm thinking about tachlis. When you're thinking about purpose, then all of the different details come together to create a whole which is greater than the sum of the parts. You've got four different instruments playing in your life, but on Shabbos they all come together. So says Rav Huttner, we take out my rabu ma'asecha on Shabbos because during the week you relate to all the details. I'm doing work, I'm doing learning, I'm doing my family time, I'm doing my relaxation, I'm doing my different things, and I'm focusing on them as details. On Shabbos, you stop looking at them as details and you start thinking, how do all of those things contribute to my purpose, to who I am, to one thing? So they all come together. So you can no longer relate to them as details. So says Rav Huttner, you leave out Ma Rabu Ma'asecha on Shabbos. And you replace it later on with Ma Godlu Ma'asecha. How big? When you talk about how big something is, you don't have many things. You don't have Ma Rabu Ma'asecha. You talk about how big the thing is. Because it's one thing now. It's all come together. So there's a oneness which is expressed by identifying the purpose of all the things that you're doing. Using this, we can understand the concept of Shalom, which is expressed in Ner Shabbos. The Maharal says this. The Maharal says the concept of Ner Shabbos is that you take all of the different. You're able to. He says light allows you to see distinction. So why is that good that you can see distinction? Distinction shouldn't give you Shalom. Distinction that you can see the differences between things shouldn't allow you to have Shalom. He says no. Because when you see the differences between things, then you understand how each one of them has its unique contribution to something which is a whole, which is greater than the sum of the parts. When you have Shalom, it's Miloshen Shalem, wholeness, completeness. You need, you won't get a string quartet if you have four violins. You only have a string quartet if you have other instruments. I'm not going to embarrass myself by not knowing what the other instruments are. But I know one of them is a cello, and anything else? Any other options? Okay, there's four instruments. Pardon? Viola and second violin, right? Right. So you've got second violin, you've got four different, when you've got the four different instruments, then you have your string quartet, because then you have the differences. They come together when you because you understand that each one of them is focusing, is building something which is above them all, which we'll talk about in a second, which is above them all, and they all come together to create that. That's the concept of Shalom and Shabbos. And I'd like to propose, that's Ner Shabbos, Shalom. I'd like to propose that there's a similar concept by Hanukkah, by Ner Hanukkah. It's a slightly different concept, but it's taking it a stage further. Let's think about that string quartet again. If you've got a string quartet, you've got four different instruments, and they all play their tune. They all play different tunes. What do you have? Cacophony. It's horrible. They're all going to play different things. They're all going to be playing in different directions. They're going to be clashing. It's only when they all recognize that there's something above us that we're creating together. Only when they do that, only when they recognize that it's not me doing my thing, it's me contributing to something which is beyond, which is above, which is bigger than me by myself. It has to be bigger than me by myself, because it's not just me. So, and as much as we recognize there is a piece of music, something deeper than any one of us can achieve, when you recognize that, then all the different components come together to create something bigger than them, to create a whole which is greater than the sum of the parts. This is the concept where we bring Pnimius back into it. The minute that you've got everything in your life being Chitzonius, so your work is your work, and if you want to do your work well, then you don't focus on the Pnimius of your work. You focus on the work. If somebody who's an accountancy is thinking about, as he's doing his accountancy, at least on our level, is thinking about, you know, how his accountancy changes the Olam HaSeElyonim. He's not my accountant anymore. I'm sorry. That's it. Finished. He needs to focus on the chitzonius of what he's doing. But if he doesn't, the minute he realizes there is a panemius to it as well, though, and he recognizes there's a panemius to it as well, and it fits in, and he understands how this chitzonius is building something together with my limud haTorah and with my tefillah and with my relax and all with my family, and it's all building something bigger. When I understand that there's something above me, call it the neshama. Call it the Pnimius, whatever you're going to call it. When you recognize that, then all of the details of life come together, all of the Chitzonius come together to a oneness. Okay, so now we're ready for Ner Hanukkah. Yavon didn't believe in Pnimius. Yavon said, it's not that they didn't believe in death, it's not that they didn't believe in integrating the mind and the body and all those type of things. They believed healthy body, healthy mind, they believed philosophy, they believed in all these type of deep ideas. But they didn't believe that there was something deeper than this world that you can't see. There was something called Pnimius. Pnimius you can never ever see. That's the nature of Pnimius. The neshama you can't see. It's deeper than that. When you're cholek on that, when you disagree with that concept, then what you end up with is a world of ribri, is a world of details. It can never fundamentally, you can try and put them together and hold them together, but they never become a oneness because they're never building something deeper than them together. They always end up, you always end up with what is in the system. So if you like, the Greeks came along and they said, we believe in the Rishus of the Rabbin. We believe in a world of Chitzonius where there's details and details and details going on in life. We don't believe there's something which is ma'achid them all together. We don't believe there's something which brings all of those things together, that there's a neshama which is deeper than all of them, that there's pnimius. We believe in the Rishus HaRabim, and Chazal say the Rishus HaRabim goes ad Asora. Where does the Shekhinah go? Until Asora, Gemara and Sukkah. The Shekhinah comes down to Lamalama Asara, Rishus HaRabim, meaning Rishus HaRabim is a place which is Kuloi Tachdonim, which is all in the ground, it's all in the lower world. There's no connection to above. When you build a mechitza around the place, then what do you create? Before you create a Rishus HaRabim, you create a Pnim, because now there's a Chitzoy and there's a Pnim. The minute there's a Pnim, then you have a Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid is Ole Ad Lirakia. Right, there's a connection between Lamata and Lamala. You send it all the way up, and now everything becomes Yochid. Now everything comes together. So this is the Ner Chanukah. The Ner Chanukah doesn't just say, Ner Shabbos will give you the Rishus HaYochid. It's a Ner Beisoy. It gives you the Rishus HaYochid. It gives you the concept of all the details coming together. But Ner Chanukah takes it one stage further. It battles with Yochon, and it says, no, now take your Ner, which is going to allow you to see the pnimius of everything, which is going to allow you to understand that in everything there is pnimius. And now, don't take it and put it in your house, like we do, but take it and be meir chutz, shine it outside. The halacha is lamata ma'asara, in the world of chitzonius, in the world of tachtonius, and be meir to the Rishus HaRabim. That's where we want to be shining it. We're saying that even in the Rishus HaRabim, even in the world of multiplicity, even in the world that you hold is the Ikka Greece, that we're saying, no, even there there's pnimius. And that's why the Sifrei Chassidus talk about the fact that on Chanukah there's an ability that a person has that he can reach something even you can't reach on Shabbos. That even to levels, even the most rochik levels, you can touch on Chanukah. Even the things which are the most chitzonius, which are the most Rishus HaRabim, even those things you can touch and you can be Makadesh with the Ner of Chanukah. And I think this might be the pshat in the Rosh in Midas now. What did they say? They said they saw a soirig, and the soirig created the mokom hamigdash, essentially created a pnim, a mokom of pnimius. And when, interestingly, you can't be metameh the shemen when it's in the mokom of pnim, when it's in the pnim, you can't touch it, because when you've got shemen in the base hamigdash, it can't become tameh. Gemara in Pesachim, we're about to do it in a couple of days' time with Dafyom. But ufartu choymos migdalai, they break the mechitzas. So now it's not a Pnachum of Plim. Now it's the same as everywhere else. V'timu kol ha-shmonim. Now they can be matam by the shmonim. Once there's a breakdown in the mechitzas, once there's a breakdown in the pnimius of the mokum, now once the place of rabim, now they can be matam by the shmonim. So we fought against that. We said, no. There is a place in our life, which is our neshama. Neshama shenasati b'tohorihi. You can't touch that. That is, if you know the Ma'aral, that is the Heichal, that is the hidden part of the Heichal, that is the Yud, which is hidden in Heichal, which adds up to 75, which is the Gematria of Kohen. And the B'nai Bina were the ones who were masaking this. The B'nai Bina is always the Midah, which is hidden. There's the seven down, there's seven Darigas down here, there's the seven Midas down here, and then there's one above that, which is Bina. And Bina is the place which is hidden in this world. So B'nai Bina, the people in Chanukah, the Kohanim, the people who went into the Kodesh Kodoshim, into the hidden place, who found the Pnimius, those people were the people who beat Yavon and said, no, there is a Rishus HaYachid. We believe in the Rishus HaYachid, and not only do we believe in the Rishus HaYachid, but the Rishus HaYachid can be Meir, the Rishus HaRabim. Why would you say I'm going to